Let's just commit our words to the Lord in prayer, shall we, today? Father, we give you thanks for this privilege that we have to talk about heaven. We pray, Father, that you'll minister to us, not through my mouth, but through the words of Scripture, through your words. We pray your blessing upon everything that is said, upon everything that is heard, that we might be blessed and go away changed, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Why talk about heaven? Everybody's going to heaven, so why talk about it? If you ask people if they're going to heaven, 90% of them will say they are. So why talk about this place? I've been in a lot of churches when with the mission, and I don't remember hearing about heaven. In fact, I don't ever remember hearing about the second coming either. So maybe there's no need to talk about heaven. There is a presentation coming up, and it's important for you to look at the very, very first screen that comes up today. If you can't answer the question that comes up, then you're not going to heaven. It's as simple as that. It's important to know what the Bible says. It's not what people say. It's not what churches teach. It's what the Bible says. That's important. So, EJ, let's go and see what the Scripture says about what's next. You look at the question. It says, if you were to die tonight and you were to stand before God, and he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What is your answer?
I would bribe him.
You have to have an answer as to why you could come in. The blood of Jesus Christ does save whoever comes under that, but a lot of people could say that but are never saved. You can have the answer from the church point of view, but do you have the answer that God wants? And that's what we've got to talk about today. It's important to know, and we're going to talk about it a number of times through the Bible. There is a book in heaven, and we'll concentrate it on that right at the end. A book in heaven, and God will put your name in that book. If you are saved, your life has been cleansed, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you are following Jesus. And the question that came up last week will come up again today. Are you obeying his commandments? Are you doing what he has asked you to do? And that's important. So we'll just see. Last week we had this verse. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of a God. All this is about prayer. It's about a personal relationship that you have with the eternal God. Do you have a relationship? Or do you just sit down and talk? And I heard it on the news this morning, or on the radio this morning. I just talk to God. But do you have a relationship that gives you that right that the Bible says you can come into his presence at any time? But do you communicate with God? Are you talking to him? And above all, do you hear his answer? Now everyone's quiet. We all do a lot of talking. We do a lot of talking to God about our family. Quite a few of them are not following the Lord, brought up on the mission field, but doesn't make any difference. Not going on with God. We tell God at least twice a day together, plus more. We're talking to God about it. But are we communicating with God? And that is important. So why shouldn't we go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God, to talk? That's where he said, the door is open. You're welcome at any time to come into his presence. We come through the blood, past the veil, into the presence of God. It's been torn. It's been opened for us to go. Thanks, EJ. These are artists' impressions. We know that. What John has seen when he traveled to heaven, when God took him through a vision and through a prophetical way that God works when he was in a spirit. He came there and he went into that place. So they're impressions of what John may have seen. Going into heavens and seeing what he has got there. They're just impressions. But are we absolutely sure that one day you will stand by that place or a place similar? Will you be there? You know that for absolute certainty. That's important. It's a real place. It's a real place that we are going to. Now this place, years ago, and not that long ago, 2013, a lady called Susan Jones, she was conducting a survey in the United States of America, and she asked around how many people were going to heaven. And the percentage then, in 2013, was 68% of people that were questioned on the street, not in a church, believed that they were going to heaven when they died. They were absolutely certain about that. 2 years earlier, in 2011, when they took the same survey, 80% believed that they were going to heaven. Types of people that were checked were those that were walking on the street, those were in their own home, and some of those, actually, that were bikies and so forth, and one of them on his way to a funeral. And you know, a special casket and everything else, and asked the friends around, why is such a big do about this? Well, he's on his way to heaven, so we're bidding him farewell. That's the way people think. That's the way people think today. Everybody, even church people, believe that they are going to heaven today. Thank the Jehovah. Move on. Heaven is a very special place. It's God's home. God put it there. We don't know how big it is. We don't know where it is. But we know that God has a place. Jesus said so. There was a father's house somewhere out there in the blue. We know that Paul said that he'd been up in that area anyhow to a third heaven. But we know that John went there. Went right into the presence of God, and we'll make attempts to look at that one. So what is heaven? What is it like? Why would we want to go there? Why do you want to go there? Do you have a reason for wanting to go there? Is it just because we've heard the word? We've heard people talk about it? Heaven's up there and hell's down there, so we want to go that way. But do you know what it's all about? What are you going to do when you get there? Well, Jim's right, he's going to play a violin. They don't have violins, they have trumpets and all sorts of things. But what are you going to do there? It's not for 1,000 years. It's not for 1,000,000 years. It's for eternity. So what are you going to do in heaven when you get there? It's important. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, we put this up or we spoke about it last week, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Jesus. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Who live there? Who live up there? If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He wants us to be with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at it, we are now in preparation for that, to become the bride of Christ. Become part of the family of God, where we often can pray. We pray to God the Father and to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's all part of our privilege if we believe, if we trust in God, if we're walking with Him, and Jesus said, obeying my commandments and doing what I ask you to do. It's important. Heaven is very important. Thanks, BJ. 580 times it's mentioned in Scripture. It's also mentioned almost all the parables talk about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, and a story from down on earth. The kingdom of heaven is not different. It's just the people that go there are different. God has got everything working together. It's a place, and it's important to us. The kingdom of heaven is part of what we want to become part and parcel of. It's where John described as a beautiful, wonderful place. So let's begin this journey with John to heaven. Thanks, BJ. We go up there. John said he was in the Spirit. He was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was obviously praying and contemplating about God. He's on a jail, virtually in prison. He had been the pastor of the church at Ephesus, which is just on the mainland, and Isle of Patmos was just out in the sea, and it was a prison. So that's where he was, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when God came down and said to John, we're going to move you upstairs for a day or two. And so that's what it was all about. And we can go with him, in a sense, to see what he saw. It mightn't be the same. It's an artist's impression of it. We can hear what God said, and we can look at part of the place that God has in store for us. So we'll move on and just take this journey with him to meet up with God. So it goes on there to say that he turned and he looked and he saw the voice, or he didn't see the voice that spoke to him. And being turned, I saw some golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and the girdle and girt around the paps was a golden girdle. His head and his hair were as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in the furnace, and his voice sounded like many waters. What did John do? The Bible says that he fell flat on his face. John had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He knew him personally, and the Bible tells us of all the disciples, he was the one that leant against the breast of Jesus. He was the closest to him emotionally, physically. And yet here, when he sees him in the throne of God, in heaven, John is so taken back that he falls on his face before him and is told to rise and get up. John is about to enter the throne room of God. And looked, and behold, the door was opened unto him. And that first voice which he had heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking to him, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne, a sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were four and twenty elders, and upon the seats he saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and voices that were, and there were seven lamps of fire burning around the throne, which are seven spirits of God. What a place. Others have tried to impress us with the thought that it might be about. And it's something like this as it comes on the screen. John's visit to heaven. The voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write it down in a book and send it to the seven churches, being the book of the Revelation that we have today. So this is what he saw. You see the elders on both sides, there's 24 of them, 12 on both sides, a choir, the same, beyond all of those that worshipped God, all of those continually fell on their face before him. This is what heaven is like, where they worship God continually. Do we worship God? I've heard Tony talk about it quite a number of times. Do we really worship God? Do we respect him as one that one day he is going to ask us to come and join him and be there in his place? What is our relationship with God? We think because we come to church and because we mix with Christian friends and because you might pray when it feels you feel like it, that that's going to take you into heaven? Is it? Is that all we have to do? God's called us about to be followers of him. I mentioned that verse last week, that we are supposed to be going out with the same authority, with the same power of prayer, and the same ability to minister in this world for God. Who else is going to do it? I ask you, if we, the people here who say, we're going to heaven, we're going to be up there with God, and we're going to go everywhere, are we? Is heaven for anybody who goes to church? Anybody who says they are a Christian according to them? It's important. That's God's throne. If we want to stand before it, we must be able to answer the first question today. Why should God let you in? Just because the Bible says it'll be all right? No, it's because of how you live before him. It's what you're doing that he says you should do. Are you obeying his commandments? Jesus said, you're my friends if you do that. If you don't, you're not my friend. Let's move on. We've got to follow God's word. Not what we think the Baptists teach, not what the Catholics teach, not what the Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists teach. That's what the elders would do before God. They fell on their faces, laid their crowns out before God. They lived there. They're part of God's heaven, and yet they worship God. Do we do that? When we go to prayer, do we worship God? Do we go there grateful and thankful that one day you can stand there before God? It's a challenge to me. It should be a challenge to every one of us that if we want to go to heaven, if we want to be with God, we must do what he says. Thanks. Are you ready to stand before a holy God, Lord Jesus Christ? Sorry, I've gone behind, have I? This picture comes up because picture of Jesus in the middle of the throne room. And the cry went out, who can open the seals? Who can open the book? And there was no one found that could do it. The Bible says that John bowed his head and he wept, because there was no one that could open God's seals and the book with our names in it. But it was Jesus, and he said to the people, fear not, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, and so he can open the scrolls and its seven seals. He will be able to open the book so that you and I can go to heaven. Thanks. So are we ready to stand before a holy God? Are we ready to walk the streets of gold and abide in the home that Jesus said he'd gone to prepare for us? Are we ready to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are we ready to stand with all the saints and the loved ones and those that have gone to heaven before? Are we ready to stand alongside of Peter and John? Are we ready to stand by all those? Stand by Stephen, who was stoned to death for serving him? Do we feel that we're worthy standing before God? We need to think here about our Christian life and what we should do to live for Jesus. Thank you. Jesus said, "You are my friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." He also said in chapter 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I suppose our first question is, what are we supposed to do? What are the commandments that we have to do? Are we his friend? Of course we are. Or we believe we are. Do we really love him and do we really serve him? What do you classify as your service to God? Just because we come to church, just because we believe we pray for our friends and our loved ones and we do all of those things, does that make us worthy of serving him down here on earth? And I ask you again, if we don't do it, who else is supposed to do it? Tony's overseas. Who's doing it now? We need to think about that. Let's move on. One of my favourite choruses is this one. Haven't heard it for 30 years. Well, I guess it goes along a long, long way away. Brian will know it. Of course he will. Somewhere beyond the blue is a mansion for me. Somewhere beyond the blue I'm longing to be. To see my Saviour's face, to sing of saving grace. Somewhere beyond the blue, someday. Have you got that assurance? Can you sing that with enthusiasm? Somewhere beyond the blue, I'm going to be there. It's what God has offered. There was another song I was talking about that the other day, and Daphne said, "Oh, there's another one. What about some golden daybreak for me and for you? Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? Joy bells all ringing with angels all singing. Won't it be wonderful there?" Why is it going to be wonderful in heaven? Why? If you'd read the scriptures, you would know why. How many here have read the Revelation, book of Revelation, all the way through? How many understand it? I've read it through many, many times. I've written a whole commentary on it, and I still don't understand it. Ask Daphne when we read it. We've been reading Ezekiel, and every day I said, "I don't understand it. I don't understand." It's not because I don't understand what it says. It's because I understand, can't understand the timing and get it all together. God was pretty hard on Israel. Why wouldn't he be hard on us? Move on. John says that he went to the temple in heaven. I didn't know there was one there. Really? Until I read that part. There's a temple in heaven, and whether that be it away in the background, we do not know. Whether there are angels that gather in that particular way, we do not know. We know that the temple is related to water and that John was there to measure parts of it out. So we know he'd been there. I didn't know there was an ark there. It's not the Ark of the Covenant, but it's the Ark of the Testimony. That's where Jesus could stand as the great high priest. That's where he could lay his blood upon that ark as the one and only blood that was acceptable for mankind around the world, and that will stand in glory to remember that Jesus, the Son of God, shed his blood for you and for me, that we might have the opportunity one day to be in heaven. Thanks. This particular slide that's coming up to me is fantastic. It may not be the same, but I know that there are going to be these gates, these arches. Look at them. How high, I do not know how they are, but they're made of one solid pearl, each one. One solid pearl. The streets are pure gold. There's 12 of those great arches in there, and we will have the privilege one day of walking through them. Shouldn't that make you excited? To be able to go in a place that God has made and prepared for those that love him. One day we become the bride of Christ. We're part of it. Read chapter 19 of the Revelation. Find out how glorious and how wonderful that will be as we are called from right across the heavens to go and to spend that time with him, to become the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on. This is special. This is prophetic. This particular part is one of the speakers there that takes the seven angels with the seven trumpets, and they are about to present. Not presented yet, not until the time of the tribulation, but it's judgment, when God will pour out his judgment over a seven-year period upon the world, along with the work that the Antichrist is doing, chopping off heads, killing people, making it hard for everyone to exist. And this is part of God's judgment pouring out. And if you read it, it wasn't time for me to put down all the things that will happen. But things there that a third of the earth, human beings, will be killed for that one alone, along with others that come. The other one too, BJ, these vials are the last of the seven that are poured out upon the world. And this is the vials that are poured out. It's the last of God's great judgment and pardon. Thankfully, it will be happening while the church is in heaven. A lot of people don't believe that, but that's the way I would prefer to have it, because I wouldn't like to go through the judgment that God is in. Never forget that it's important that God's program for the future and for all of us as individuals is the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to come to that now, and I want you to think about this carefully. Thanks. Jesus says here that we are to watch, therefore, and be ready, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. So if you're planning to go to heaven, if he should come today, this afternoon, Jesus could walk in this door. He has done already. He's here today. He says he is. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, where is he? Here with us today. He knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what's going on in your mind. He knows what's happening in your heart. You can't hide from God. And you certainly can't come to church to hide from God. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. This is important. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Every man, every woman that has confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior will stand before him to give an account of your life's work here on earth. Don't question it. It's written in the Bible. He will ask you what you've done for him on earth, if your works have been good and acceptable to God. You will receive a reward of gold or silver to take into the kingdom of God. If you don't, it says if your works are poor and not acceptable to God, You will get into heaven by the skin of your teeth, by fire, the Bible says, and you walk in with a bundle of chaff or hay. That's the way God expresses it. I don't know about you, but ever since a little boy, we used to sing, "Will there be any stars in your crown?" And that used to impress me as a child. I want to make sure that there are stars in my crown when I stand before God. What about you? What about you? How do you feel? Let's move on. Let us be glad and rejoice. Why? Because we can go to the judgment, to the wedding breakfast. We'll all sit down together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You got your ticket? Do you know your ticket is somewhere there on the table? Maybe your name tag right here or over there. Do you know you've got a name tag? One day you'll sit down in the kingdom of God. It's important, very important. Last one, not quite the last, just a couple away. Nearly there. That's the little book. God has it. Must be a pretty thick book. It looks like pretty thick. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Whosoever is not written, found written in the Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. So there are two places. There's heaven and the lake of fire. So let's move to this one. And this is not a pretty picture, but it's true. God says it is. The Lord said unto him or her, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And the heaven is a real place. Heaven is for real.